This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
On Tuesday, an employee at an Arizona detention site for immigrant children forcibly separated from their parents was arrested and charged with sexually abusing a 14-year-old detainee. On Wednesday, the internet burned with a report, yet unconfirmed, that a child recently released from a Dilley, Texas ICE facility had died due to medical neglect. The backdrop for this was Senate testimony from a Health and Human Services official, Jonathan White, here in an exchange with Senator Richard Blumenthal.
Well, it's traumatic for any child separated from his or her parents. Am I correct? I say that as a parent of four children.
There's no question. There's no question that separation of children from parents entails significant potential for traumatic psychological injury to the child.
Separating families, in other words, with trauma aforethought. Yet in the same Senate hearing, ICE official Matthew Albence characterized the government imprisonment of immigrant children very differently.
We have officers in these facilities on a daily basis. I think the best way to describe them is to be more like a summer camp.
Minus canoeing and hiking and visiting day. But we're left to take Albence at his Pollyanna word. The public is largely prevented from seeing those detention sites firsthand or even getting timely information on who is being held, much less the ability to question detainees about their treatment. Enter the press, also known as the enemy of the people. This summer, various sinister agents of journalism conspired to seek information about children separated from their parents. In a project designed by ProPublica, 10 news organizations are sharing information to flesh out the hidden details. Among them, the network Univision.
Univision Noticias, Tamoa, Calzadilla, Tamoa.
Out of the 30 cases they got information to follow up on, four children were reconnected with their parents after the publication of their stories. One story saw a Salvadoran mother reunited with her 6-year-old daughter who had been sent to Pennsylvania.
Esta niña es de 5 años, ya está con su madre. Sí, estoy emocionada. Acabo de recibir la noticia.
Salomar Colon is the digital managing editor of Univision News. She said her team knew they were perfectly placed to reach the people most affected by this crisis because they'd done something similar last fall.
We did a project when Hurricane Maria hit Puerto Rico that was exactly about this. It was about service journalism, about how to connect families that were in the island in Puerto Rico with the mainland, which was the biggest issue after the hurricane passed. There was no communication, total blackout in the island. So we said, how can we use our resources on the ground to make this happen? We received over 10,000 entries of families looking for their loved ones, and we were able to connect over a week at least 100 families. So based on that project, we were looking to model another project where we could use our tools and our journalists to connect the audience and to be closer to them because they do feel more comfortable when talking to journalists from Univision than they would probably feel in other news organizations because of the language.
Documenting separation by 6 degrees of separation. Somebody who knows someone who knows someone who knows someone who knows something. Tell me how you do it. What are the tools?
With the ProPublica project in particular, we get the information on a database that all partners share. So our reporter that has been working on this project, the first point of contact, it's via WhatsApp once they feel comfortable with her. Because at the beginning, there is always some reluctancy. People are scared of their names, you know, being published. They do want to be reunited, but there is an element of putting themselves forward when you're an undocumented immigrant. But we created such a bond and a relationship with these families, that they were the ones that called us when they knew that their family was going to be reunited, that with these stories, it was either days, and with one of them in particular, it was hours after we published the story that the family was reunited. It was the same family members that we've been talking to, with whom we created a relationship, who called us and told us the great news that they had learned that they were going to be released, or that they were just reunited with their kid. So that's basically how this story works. It's how you build that trust and that relationship with your contacts and your audience. You know, it's what we do as journalists.
Now, there have been thousands of separated families. You have been able to reunite four of them. What are some of those stories?
The parents say that the kids reflect to them a sense, once they meet, a sense of abandonment, which is what experts have already said, what this could cause on these children. So these are traumas that have marked these families and these children for life. There was a case in particular of a mother that was, she was released in a center in Houston. Her kids were in Maryland. She wasn't even allowed to talk to the kids even when she was released. The kids were only talking to her sister, who was the point of contact for the children. And the children did not know where they were at. A lot of the families were saying the kids, the only thing they can tell us is, you know, we've drove like 2 hours and we are at this center where they give us food and we play sometimes and we see doctors, and then they take us during the day to Miss Mary's or vice versa, but they can't tell exactly where they're at.
And you're getting some degree of cooperation, are you not, from the Department of Health and Human Services and ICE itself?
Very little. What we always get first is we get sent to their online database. And from there, we usually hit a wall, because you do need a lot of details that might not be provided by the parents or might be incorrect in what they gave you. So it's a lengthy process. It's not something that usually happens in 24 hours. And about the children, they're not sharing any information at all.
You were able to reunite four families that had been separated by the government, which is magnificent, but it's also only four. Why only four? Is it a function mainly of government opacity or of undocumented people who are just terrified of coming forward lest ICE show up on their doorsteps?
It's a combination of families being extremely afraid of coming forward and sharing their story. And once you have contact and you try to tell their story and figure out more information from the government, there's a wall and you get no help and no information. You're always directed to a database that it's almost impossible to get information from.
I wonder what you think of how the press in general has covered this ongoing story, and in particular, you know, what we're doing wrong.
I think we have to get better at telling the story of the politics behind it, but really getting in depth of the people that are affected by these policies. You might be seeing big numbers of families and immigrants fleeing their countries and coming to the United States. There is a reason behind it. There are economics, there are social issues, there are life-threatening realities that these families live in their countries. I think that's the story that the media, it's not, most of the media, I'm not saying all, but a lot of the media are not telling. Sometimes they're just portrayed as people that just want to come to the United States and take advantage of benefits here. I doubt that someone is going to risk their life doing such a dangerous crossing just because they want to live with air conditioning and have a good supermarket. That's not the reason why people are coming to the country. And that's the story that also needs to be told. You know, Central America, Mexico, South America, they're our neighbors. You know, we're extremely close to them. So language shouldn't and culture shouldn't be a barrier. There are ways and there are means, you know, there are translators to work on these stories and to understand what are the issues, you know, the basic journalism, you know, the five W's and the H of every story. And here, a lot of journalists are missing the whys.
The U.S. government has substantially fulfilled the court order to reunite thousands of families. And some, of course, horror stories are emerging, such as parents being deported back to their native countries while their kids are still here. But clearly there will be many, many, many other stories to be told. Is that the next phase of this project? Not to reunite families, but to document the experiences of those who have been reunited?
Definitely. The story is going to be telling the stories of those reunited, but it's also the story of why those more than 400 parents were deported without their kids. And we started noticing this trend since June. At Univision, we had an interview of a Guatemalan mother who was deported without her son, and she had no idea what had happened. She had no idea what she had signed to leave the country. So the story now is, are these kids going to be reunited with their parents? Are they going to get lost in the system? I think it's also extremely worrisome what happened with more than 600 kids that have not been reunited with their parents because, according to the government, they're ineligible. We have no idea what the government means by being ineligible to be reunited with your parent. There are families that are together now, but they're still in detention centers. And actually, this Thursday morning, they started a hunger strike in one of the centers in Texas, claiming that they are being mistreated and that they are not being told the whole story or they're not being explained what's going to happen. A lot of them were said that if they signed papers, they were going to be set free so they could continue with their asylum process. For one of them that was interviewed by lawyers that spoke to us on Univision, that was a month ago, and nothing has happened. So that's the story now.
Sally, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Bob, for having me today and for putting a light to this issue.
Salamar Colon is the digital managing editor of Univision. To learn more about the collaboration or to send a tip, visit univision.com/centros de menores.